shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe. 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound.
Welcome to the Labor Day edition of Labor Day weekend edition of Nocturnal Journal. Got a great show, a great show tonight. In the next hour, we're going to talk about the Smile Train Initiative with some live music from
Dave. Pardon me for interrupting you real quick. I want to update something we mentioned in the news. There is police activity westbound on the Eisenhower. Traffic is being diverted off at Central. The investigation is at Central and proceeding west to 17th Avenue. So the westbound Ike, all lanes and the shoulders are closed. There is an incident involving police activity. We don't have any information right now on how soon that will be reopened. So that's what we got right now. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, David Jennings. So we're going to do a Smile Train thing with live music from Nick Tremulous, Wayne Baker Brooks, and our friend Sergio Mayora. And in the next half hour, we're going to talk about urban camping. And we're going to lead off with our good friend, Bob Ciccone. Long time, you're celebrating your 40th anniversary as a vendor in baseball's ballparks here in Chicago.
40 years in June, yes.
40 years. And I know you from your writing, and you still appear at the Green Mill on and off in the poetry slams.
Yes, it's, the Green Mill is to, on Sunday night, is to poetry what Wrigley Field is to baseball. And they don't need a Jumbotron there either.
So I was struggling to book guests this week, and I ran into you at Office Depot up by Wrigley Field.
Yes, a special on Bic pens.
Is that what you were there for? And you're a friend of the show, and I love your radio voice. You said you did some radio at the Knox College?
Oh, yes. More than 40 years ago. So it's been lost to history.
And I know you're a Southside guy. And so tell us, I want to pay some homage to your 40 years of vending. How did you get into the vending business, and what was it like back in 1977?
I got into it totally by accident, which is too long a story to tell here. It's a funny thing. In 77, 40 years have gone by, vending itself hasn't changed that much. People are still impressed when we pour two beers at once, although you can master that trick in about 10 minutes. What's changed a lot is the game around us, and the fans have changed around us.
In what way? How's that?
There's a whole lot of ways. One is that they drink a whole lot less. It's maybe not as good for the vendors, but it's much better for the fans, and it makes for a much more manageable crowd. The type of fan too has changed. Chicago was a blue collar town back in '77, and if you ever want to get a sense of what, especially the White Sox, but also the Cubs fans were like in that year, there's a fantastic book called Park Life by a photojournalist called David Elliott, who just does a full book of pictures of the fans of that era, and they'd be unrecognizable now. It was the end, really. It was the beginning of the end of blue-collar Chicago. And that's passed over to what Chicago's become, which is now largely a white-collar and finance town, and it's those folks who are represented at the ballparks now.
What was your first ballpark? Now, I know you're from Auburn Gresham.
Yes.
So did you start at Comiskey, or did you start at Wrigley? Did you start at both of them?
Started at Comiskey. Yeah,
started at Comiskey.
In 77.
And
yeah.
What was your product? What were you vending?
Oh, it was Coca-Cola. You work your ways through what they call the kiddie items, Coke and peanuts and cotton candy.
They do. They call them the kiddie. Really? Is there a pecking order? I didn't know that. Do you work your way up?
Yeah, it's because everything is assigned by seniority, so you have to develop some. Back then, it only took a year to get on beer. Now, because so many, there's a lot of people of my generation still vending. 40 years would put me probably 10th or 12th on the list of who's out there now. So because everyone stuck around, now it takes sometimes 10, 12 years to get on to beer.
What was Comiskey like back then in 77?
It really was the world's largest saloon. In fact, just going back to Disco Demolition Night, I think there were a few arrests, mostly for disturbance, a couple of injuries, mostly from falls, from people climbing down the foul poles. But what there was not was person-on-person injuries, and that was the norm out at Sox Park then.
That's very interesting.
I mean, bars would go, they'd rent a bus, and then they'd be 40 guys getting plowed after a week. I mean, Friday and Saturday nights just happened all the time. They had two paddy wagons waiting at 35th Street, and they filled them both up every Friday and Saturday. And the bar on one side of the aisle would get into a brawl with the bar on the other side of the aisle. And that was routine. We saw fistfights all the time. That did not happen on Disco Demolition Night. Just an aside.
Then when did you start at Wrigley?
The following year, 78.
Yeah. And what was that like? What was that experience like? 78, that was like, what, Mitterwald? I mean, that was like all the home run hitting teams?
Mitterwald, Barry Foote. They picked up Dave Kingman. That was, especially during those days when it was all day games, during the week, instead of being the world's biggest saloon, it was the world's biggest daycare center. Kingman would hit a pop-up, and everyone, 28,000 kids would scream on a Wednesday afternoon. They couldn't tell it from a home run. Consequently, the kiddie items did very well those days.
So when did you graduate to beer? About when was that?
Back then, it was only a year or two. And then, of course, that was all she wrote.
And what did you do, sell Old Style? Was it back then at the Wrigley?
It was Old Style and Schlitz at Wrigley, and I think Stroh's and Schlitz at...
Yeah, when we did the Disco Demolition book, you said you were selling Schlitz and Stroh's at Disco Demo Night.
Yes, yeah. Stroh's was the bad item, or it was the great item, because Harry Carey made Stroh's. He could make any beer he shilled for. Leaning out of the booth there and holding up the can, and Schlitz was the item you were punished by. if you missed a game or you'd misbehaved.
I think people forget that back then it was age 19, too. It was 19.
For a number of years. Yeah. It certainly was during Disco Demolition Night, because you can take a look at the crowd and think, how are these people drinking? Well, a lot of them had fake IDs, but a lot of them were of age.
Yeah. Did you grow up a Sox fan? Was there baseball around the house?
I did indeed. In fact, In our neighborhood, when those sirens went off in September of 59, everyone knew what it meant. There were neighborhoods largely north that got a little bit freaked out because it was the middle of the Cold War and you know, were the bombs coming or not. But we knew exactly what it was.
Yeah. I never asked you, what'd your parents do?
Father was an engineer. Mother, back then, like just about every mother on the block, was a housewife.
Yeah. And was there, going into the literature thing, was there writing? Were there books around the house? How did you get into writing and poems and literature?
I think it starts the way it always starts, and it should start. It's your parents read to you at bedtime.
Yeah.
And that just makes all the difference in life.
Really?
And in writing.
And your daughter, Catherine, she's outside right now. I wish all our listeners were that excited. Do you read to her? She's up, jumping up and down and waving. That's great. I mean, is she coming up through a literary world?
Well, now that she's adopted about 10 different voices, she can read aloud to herself better than I can. She even does the Harry Carey a little bit.
So do you want to read us a little, maybe a minute or two of a baseball poem? I asked you to bring in some work.
Especially since we talked about the old neighborhood. Let me do one about the old neighborhood. This is titled Chicago Softball. Patso could hit a ball farther than anyone I'd ever seen. As much as we backed up in the outfield when he came to bat, he'd still pound it over our heads. The ball off his bat did a kind of leap and pirouette, for he loved not to run the bases but dance around them. The twist to first, the mambo to second, the cha-cha to third, and coming home, a gavotte, so stately, so slow, that after we'd hunted down the ball in the weeds across the railroad tracks, we still had a chance to throw him out. How about one called Dark Night of the Soul, Trading Deadline?
Okay, we got to take a break. Maybe after we do that, we'll be back with Bob Ciccone celebrating his 40th year as a vendor at the North and South Side. Don't go away on WGN.
The devil had it so easy back in the garden. Eve was a snap to flip, and Adam was no challenge at all. Back in those epochs, he could wrap up his work early, dial it in, knock off for the day. Inquisitions, wars, pogroms, those were no trouble at all to set in motion. Little follow-up necessary. The silly sins, adultery, theft, dishonesty, he could delegate those out. Banker's hours for the devil, he loved his job. Then it got tougher for him. So many new souls. The church inched away from fear, which had made his work a breeze, into promoting love and kindness. The devil had to struggle to the red tape of human conscience and self-sacrifice. Mankind kept coming up with new things to make his work still harder. Mercy, empathy, all things holistic, group hugs, secular humanism, the prevailing of cooler heads, Laura Nero's night luster, the gentle art of listening, my feeling of your pain, the humor found in suffering, until the devil was having to work swing shifts, double shifts, graveyard shifts, unpaid overtime, no calling in sick. So don't you know he will be there with the rank and file this Labor Day, marching up Dearborn Street singing, "All the world is not a stage, $15 minimum wage," although the devil will not be one of the featured speakers.
Excellent. That's our friend Bob Ciccone, writer, vendor, husband, and father. Thank you very much, man. Tell us about that. Tell us about that poem. What's it called?
It's hot off the presses and lacks a title. and it, like most poems, especially the mill type poems, it is what it is. It's not looking for any deeper meaning.
I asked you to kind of do a Labor Day thing. Is this how fresh is it?
It's an hour fresh.
It's an hour fresh. Yes. Well, how do you write? I'm just curious for the writing process. I mean, do you do pen to paper? Do you a typewriter? Do you use a computer? Did you write it on a Uber over here? I mean, how'd you do it?
No,
a
pen to paper. And the key is stoplights. You get 27 seconds at a stoplight. You can do a haiku and have 10 seconds left over if you write 1 second per beat. So I'm the guy who, when a light turns yellow, I slow up at the stop and you honk because I didn't go through and you wanted to go through. But that's what I'm writing down.
That's well put. Are you still doing – I haven't been to the Green Mill or Sergio's up a little bit later. I know they used to have slams at Weeds. I think they moved them to the Hideout. But have you been to the Green Mill lately? What's the whole climate like for public reading like that and stuff? Do you still do that?
Yes, and it's still the greatest joint there is. I think a lot of people have a sense of poetry slam being screaming of personal and social grievances, and there's a little bit of that. But there's so many things there. There's humor. There's rhyming couplets. There's hip hop. There's people getting out there angry at their ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend. And there's great stuff. It's very much like baseball. Some weeks are better than others. But every week you get a whole lot of the founder and the MC now, the host for over 30 years. Not marvelous Marv Thronberry, but marvelous Mark Smith. Whose performances of other people's stuff, like Robert Frost or D.H. Lawrence or Carl Sandburg, hearing him do that is really, it's like seeing Olivier do Hamlet or Lear. And I urge people who have any interest in poetry to get up there on a Sunday night.
How, again, I haven't been there in a long time. How reflective is it of the city as far as like being multicultural and different voices?
I think it's very much so. There are probably individual groups that might say that they're underrepresented, but we get, I think we get every viewpoint there, even the occasional right-wing viewpoint,
yeah.
which is verboten, I think, at every other slam.
Now, for listeners, when are you going to be there again?
You
should get some juice off this appearance.
I try to make it once a month.
Yeah.
But whoever's there, it's always a great night as long as Mark Smith is running the show.
So speaking of Labor Day, how has tipping changed over the years? Were tippers better back in the 70s, or are they better now? And actually, you don't work our section. You're on the other side at Wrigley, right? You're down the...
Well, at 40 years, you get to pick your spot, so yeah. I tend to go between the dugouts and the lower end
seats.
Well,
that's where all the money is then, right?
The money and the regulars. Yeah. So the fans you're going to see many, many, many times a year, which makes the game more fun because you just actually... It's a social 3 hours in addition to being a job.
Yeah, we have that in our corner. We don't have a lot of money. But we've got Dougie North and Dave Levinson. He comes over. Yeah, so yeah, it is like family. How about celebrity clients? Like Bill Murray. Have you ever served him a beer?
I have not. and the others. There's no stories behind serving the others. It was a simple transaction in most cases.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in most cases, like what about one that wasn't in most case? Give me a good 40 years. You've had to serve like a rock star or an actor or something like that.
Well, it's some, but I hate to bring it up.
Well, go ahead. Come on.
I'm not going to mention any names because they're probably still among the living.
But you've been treated okay?
Oh, yeah, fine.
You've been treated all right? Yeah. What about other regular vendors and stuff? Tell me about, I buy my scorecards from Bill Griffin. Dan Long, you don't know Bill Griffin, do you? He's the older gentleman. You buy scorecards. Do you buy scorecards at Wrigley?
I do every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, Bill's old.
Yeah, he's very old. He's got 20 years on me on this job.
I've done a couple stories on him.
Korean War vet.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the veteran vendors. Mo, you wrote a poem about Mo once, right?
Which Mo was that? We had a lot of characters in the older days. I think a lot of them have probably moved on, although I'm friends with a lot of the veteran vendors. They found a way to make this work well into their 60s and in some cases their 70s.
Now, we got about a minute left. You don't do Comiskey anymore. I still call it Comiskey. What do they call it now? Guaranteed rate?
I still call it Comiskey, too. Yeah, now, after 37 years, they really don't need us out there right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's given the crowds they're drawing and the concourse is so much, there's so many points of sale there. You know, if they ever contend again, they'll need us again, but they really don't now.
At Wrigley, has all the extra stuff outside the ballpark, how has that affected your business? I mean, the outside bars, even the stuff that they're doing now, the Cubs are doing.
Really not at all. It's funny that the more things change, the more things stay the same at Wrigley, which is you know, a pleasing upshot of all this. The fans, the attitude, the tenor in the crowd, the reverse anhedonia by which people will go out there and find a way to have a good time, regardless of how bad the game is, it's all still there.
They do drink before the game. Thursday night out in 242, they were ushering a woman out who had just, it was the first inning, she'd thrown up all over her pants and stuff.
You know, it's funny. That's really changed in 40 years. We rarely see public drunkenness in Wrigley Field.
That's because of the section you're working in.
I think that's
come out by our section, yeah. Bob Ciccone.
I got to get back to the proletariat.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're with all the rich people. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for we got less than a minute. You got a quick one, just like a minute poem you can sign us off with before we go into the David Jennings in the news.
Real short one, yeah. Because baseball and aging go together well.
Okay, and then we'll see you maybe tomorrow, right? You're going to be out there tomorrow?
I should be.
I'm bummed out. R.A. Dickey isn't pitching now, but that's just me. Go real quick.
Casey, the boy I was waits at the Mudville station, waving a pennant for the old man I am to step down off the train.